The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
The Week 9 Contest Bombs and Thursday Night Football edition of the Bottom Line Bombs on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com/SGPN. Use code SGPN for a first deposit match up to $100. We're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, a sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Plus, the MMA Gambling Podcast just launched their YouTube channel. To celebrate, we're giving away an MMA Gambling Podcast hoodie. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/MMA hoodie for all the details. And with that, we are ready to start a show on time, I'd say, kind of. Here comes the theme anyway. Yes, sir. Welcome to the Bottom Line Bobs. I am your host, CJ Sullivan, the man in the box. Yes, it is November 2nd, All Souls Day here. You're in the C Block, extended early version of C Block. Welcome. All fans that are coming over from the Sports Gambling Podcast, from the Mothership, where I just did the prop show, and gave out the famous ladder, had some ladder chatter, brought ladders for the boys. People are very, very excited. Ladders are taking over the gambling verse by storm verse. Oh, I should start the stopwatch. Start the stopwatch. Gave out ladder. If you weren't with me, it was a Chubba Hubbard. Run his ladder. Run his ladder. It's All Souls Day, like I said. No, we already got some people commenting. Come in there. Captain Insano, teabagging like an MF-er, double dipping with the podcast. You're damn right. You can triple head too if you want, Captain Insano, because after this, I do the college show with Picks Dundee. They got me going through the grind as we do it, but we're going to get the show going because we have a lot to go. We have a lot to do in the show. I'll give out a couple bombs for the Thursday Night Football tonight, Tennessee-Pittsburgh, because that's time-sensitive. That's just for the live listeners. I'll recap the World Series, a little bit of a Halloween. Then I'll give out my contest bombs. We are 2019-1, pretty much dead even, little one game over 500, a half game. So five more contest picks, a survivor pick, because we're still in that. And then, of course, a man in the box. We'll talk about Bobby Knight, possibly. A couple other things. JC from KC is here. Let's go, Cereal. Why is my man Dak on there? Dak is on there because he's looking on the thumbnail, you're saying, Cereal. Because he's in the big game of the week versus the Eagles. And there he is sitting down looking at me. I'm the hype man next to Antonio Pierce. Anyway, hope you all had a happy Halloween. I was the cocaine bear. Very easy costume. I dressed as a cook from The Bear, the TV show The Bear. But then I was just in the bathroom stressed out doing cocaine. Great costume. Best part of the costume is I got to stay trapped in the bathroom all night and didn't have to go to the party. That's part of the costume, is being locked in the bathroom doing cocaine. Great costume. That's all cooks do anyways, cocaine. That's what I yell, yes, chef! We need more Chardonnay, chef! I've talked plenty about the bear. I don't have to talk about that, but, you know. They overdo it a bit much on that show. We know it's very stressful working in a kitchen, but you're making beef sandwiches. You're not going through Vietnam. But anyway, it was funny. Anyway, happy birthday to Jimmy G, says JC from KC. Hollywood, I gave out candy to trick-or-treat as a Culver City where my sister lives. Then I came back to Hollywood. I forgot how fucking wild Hollywood is for Halloween. Hollywood's nuts anyway, but good Lord, it's just a freak parade. I come back to my house and my apartment. Right down the street, there's fire trucks and everything's blocked off. I'm like, oh, this must be a normal thing. I go to the corner of La Brea and Hollywood. I live very close to there. Couple cars in a pile up in a couple cars are in an intersection, crash into each other. And then there's another car directly through a building, a truck driven right through a Ruffalo's Pizza, right through the wall. I mean, we wanted them to have a drive-thru, but not that way. Turns out it's Alan Ruck. The guy who played Cameron in Ferris Bueller, or as you might know him, Connor Roy in Succession. You know, the dipshit brother, older brother, who runs for office, runs for president, doesn't he? Connor Roy. Yeah, anyway, Cameron in Ferris Bueller, he drove through a fucking pizza place. So there's a truck right through there. His dad's going to kill him. That's why he told Ferris he doesn't want to take that car out. Anyway, that's what happens in Hollywood. Hollywood Halloween. Captain Sano said his college, he remember the coke dealer. Cooks paid him in Outback Steaks once. Had steaks for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for weeks. That's fantastic. Yeah, usually if you work at a restaurant, that's what you know. The back of the house is where the best drugs in the city are at.
Those guys are nuts.
Anyway, World Series wrapped up last night. Texas Rangers won. Thank God, actually. Thank God Arizona didn't win. What a disaster that would have been. People are always like, I'm a Phillies fan. Like, don't you want the team to beat you to win a championship? No, I don't. I want that team to be humiliated. I want them to lose terribly. And that's exactly what happened. It's like that World Series never even existed. Arizona set baseball back 15 years. I'm kidding, obviously. I know people like they're very excited. They're not even excited. They run. They take advantage of the new rules. You steal, and then your defense. Oh, thank God. Baseball finally had a GOAT moment. See, that's the best thing about baseball playoffs is it produces a GOAT moment. Not greatest of all time, like a Bill Buckner GOAT. And Arizona snuck one in the ninth inning when the center fielder let the ball roll right through. I haven't seen that in a while. Ball roll right underneath the guy's glove. No bad hop or nothing. It was amazing. Put it in reverse and take off the miles, JC says. I know. That's what Cameron did. He put it in reverse and took it right into the fucking pizza place. They're already saying it's the worst rated World Series ever. Every game, game one, worst game one ever. Game two, worst rated World Series. Which, okay, we get it. Also, ratings are not the same the way they used to be. There's 1,000 channels. There's streamers, you know. People don't have, no one has cable anymore. And that's how they still count ratings. That's why I don't trust any ratings numbers. They still use Nielsen boxes, for God's sakes. Who the fuck? Do you know anyone that has a Nielsen box in their house ever? Even if you did growing up, at least that was growing up in the 80s or whatever the hell it was. Who has one now? And what is that system? You watch what they watch because you have a Nielsen box mailed to your house and they pay you and then you represent 5,000 houses? How is this a system you're using for ratings? I don't trust any of their numbers. Ratings, they do, I swear to God, and I know this because I've been through the ringer with radio, they do ratings by how many people call into the show. I swear to God. They don't care. They have no idea how else to rate who's listening to the show. But if you call in, That's why shock jocks were always a big thing. Like your Rush Limbaughs and Stearns before Stern went to therapy. They'd be like, hey, I want to drop this puppy off a roller coaster if you don't listen in. And people call him, no, you don't kill it. But now they're getting ratings. So I don't believe any of this nonsense. But baseball was bad. Who are we kidding? Arizona, 84-win team. They were terrible. Zach Gallen finally pitched a good game. He almost threw a no-hitter, and then you could tell, like, oh, they're not going to win because they're not getting runs for him. But Corey Seager got MVP. Fourth player ever to get multiple World Series MVPs for two different teams. I only bring him up because, one, he won the World Series MVP. Because LA fans, when Corey Seager left the Dodgers to go to the Rangers, LA fans and LA Sports Talk Radio, they all said, oh, well, I guess he just was going for the money then. He obviously doesn't want to win. Can't obviously want to win and go to the Rangers. I mean, granted, the Rangers did lose 100 games at the time. but the people can't fathom that anyone want to leave LA. They just can't comprehend it. And he did get paid a lot of money. And there are no state taxes in Texas. So they did have a point. But they just couldn't comprehend it. And there they go, they win. Also, that MVP for the Dodgers, that was the bubble. Of all the bubble COVID sport championships, they're all a sham. And I still believe the only reason why people count them as actual championships is because LA won two of them, because the Lakers and the Dodgers won. No way if other random teams won, like if Miami would have won, there's no way they would have counted that as an actual NBA title, because it wasn't. It was tough. I'm not saying, yeah, everyone had the same rules, but it doesn't mean it's the same thing. The baseball, I mean, the World Series, it was a 60-game season. How is that a fucking World Series? Clayton Kershaw is healthy. That should tell you something. Will Smith, three different championships with three different teams. And there's three different Will Smiths. There's a pitcher, there's a catcher, and there's a slapper. Savannah Banana, Siri, you're goddamn right. Every Savannah Banana highlight's amazing. But congratulations to Texas. One of six teams, as Insano says, and never won a championship. Now there's only five left. I always like when they show old logos up there for any kind of historical stat. You know, they had to show the Boston Braves the other day, and it was just an extremely racist logo. But what can you do? We're not changing an old logo. We can't. Brewers, Padres, Marlins. Not the Marlins. Marlins won two championships. What are you talking about, Insano? Anyway, all right, so that's the baseball. Oh, yeah, there's Thursday Night Football tonight. I got to get to that real quick for everyone who is tuning in live here to the Bottom Line Bombs. Then I'll get to the actual contest bombs after the break, and then the survivor and the man on the box. Tonight is Tennessee-Pittsburgh. Line is 2.5, 37. I see there are three somewhere. I like Pittsburgh if you want to play the game. Kenny Pickett's just a jerk. He's hurt, but he's like, I got to play. I can't let Trubisky play. Kenny, you're barely good when you're healthy. We don't want you injured either. Everyone wants to see Will Levis, so he was amazing that game versus Atlanta, but people are like, well, so now it's going to be a different story. Short week in Pittsburgh. I'll give out a couple props. Deontay Johnson came back. He's became the number one receiver. His yards hit every time. His prop is 58.5. We'll hit Deontay Johnson over 58.5. And we're going to do a different angle with Will Levis. Will Levis didn't run last week because he didn't have to, because he was throwing those lucky, like, underneath sidearm balls to Hopkins, and they got three touchdowns, and he threw four touchdowns. That's not going to happen versus Pittsburgh. But I will think he has to run the ball. And his rushing prop is 12.5. I think it's pretty attainable. I think he'll be running a lot tonight. Will Levis over 12.5 prop. And we're going to do anytime touchdown, 6-1 he's at. I love that one. 6-1 prop, Levis touchdown. Anyway, that'll do it for Thursday night, Bob. It should be, it's a slugger. We got Mike Vrabel coming back to Pittsburgh. He used to play for the Steelers. When I went to Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, shout out to the Yinzers out in Mount Washington. We went to this dive bar. One time we went to this dive bar. Was it the Iron Eagle? Some Eagle? Eagle Bar? Some kind of Iron Eagle, whatever. Not the grocery store. Giant Eagle's the grocery store, but it was like an Iron Eagle bar, too, or whatever, in the movie. Anyway, it was a dive bar. We were there at night, and Mike Vrabel came in. I don't know if he played for the Steelers at the time or he was a linebacker coach or something. He's working up his ranks. And he was there with a date. And we sent him over a shot of Imperial whiskey because that's the drink. Imp and Iron. Imp and Iron. Imperial whiskey and Iron City beer. Give me an Imp and Iron, which is the original Arnie Palmer, by the way. I know everyone orders an Arnie Palmer. It's half iced tea, half lemonade. No, a real Arnie Palmer is an Imp and Iron. Imperial whiskey and Iron City beer. So we sent him over Imperial whiskey, and he declined it. And we're like, fuck you, Vrabel. You too good for us? He was on a date, for God's sakes. He didn't, no, I don't want rat gut whiskey. I'm a professional athlete. I can get it if I want. Thanks anyway. So we hated him. But he's a good guy, Vrabel. I'm sure he is. I don't know. Whatever. Either way. Ken Barnard in the chat says he once wore a camo jacket with a giant eagle patch. That's pretty amazing. And he's as a Yinzer. Bet the Titans, he says. Well, that's a typical Yinzer. They are an amazing team. They're like 4-2. I have no idea how they're 4-2. They're terrible. But this is a spot for them. I like them to beat Tennessee tonight. But I'd rather play Deontay Johnson and Will Levis, and that's what I will play. And now I will read ads, and I'll come back, and we'll get into our contest bombs. Anyway, but let me tell you about Prize Picks, first of all. With basketball season here, you can pick a combo projection across football and basketball from special leagues. A league created specifically for combo projects include two more games, players, different sports or leagues. For example, LeBron James and Travis Kelce at 10.5 combination of three-pointers made and reception. See, that's how you do that. You want to play alongside some of PrizePicks' favorite players like rapper Meek Mill and comedian Andrew Schultz? Sure you do. You can now find community plays under the promos tab and app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the PrizePicks community each week. Oh, my goodness graciousness. PrizePicks even offers a reboot policy so your entries stay in play even if one of your players get injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half, does not return in the second half, then player is rebooted. PrizePicks, the only daily fantasy sports platform with an injury insurance policy. You know how this works. You just pick higher or lower. You pick like Deontay Johnson, like I did, 58.5, and you go higher, receiving yards. Will Levis, 12.5 rushing yards, higher. You put them together. And if one of them gets hurt first half, you don't have to cry about it to the books. They'll automatically replace it, which I don't agree upon, but it's what you Gen Zers like nowadays. You got to get replaced. He got hurt. It's not fair. I made a bet and it didn't work out my way. Well, they listen to you. I wouldn't, but they listen to you. Anyway. So go to prizepicks.com/SGPN. Use code SGPN for the first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/SGPN, code SGPN. PrizePicks Daily Fantasy Sports made easy. All right. The MMA Gambling Podcast as well just launched a YouTube channel in honor. We're giving away an MMA Gambling Podcast hoodie to one lucky winner. So head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/MMA hoodie. Submit your entry today. Make sure to subscribe to MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube. And there you go. There we go. There we go. Now we're back with the bombs. The Wobbly Rooster is currently watching from a tree. That's a ladder reference. You want me to get the ladder, climb up, and get you out of that tree, I bet. Well, like we said, if you are a cat, we like to rescue cats out of trees with our prop ladders. But if it doesn't work out, don't get madder. Don't get sadder about the ladders. Because as the 911 operator told my buddy Mike Golson, when he called the fire department to get a cat out of the tree, because his girlfriend was crying, was stuck in there. She goes, listen, we don't do that, but tell her this. Do you ever see a cat skeleton in a tree? He says, no, that's right, because they get down. They don't die up there. Cats die eventually, but not in trees. They'll get down. Anyway. I know. Iarbo is right. The Steelers did get beat up and Deontay blamed the ref. The refs were bad in that game. I will give Deontay that. But he got to went the old, but he turned back into the old Deontay Dropson. That's a Steeler. That's a Yinzer nickname that comes right from the DVE. DVE rocks. All right, let's get into the contest bombs and talk some NFL. We are talking NFL football. That was my cat talk from the ladder. Jesus, that song's good Lord. I just gave the boys a couple ladders to rescue some kitties when they bring the show to Vegas on VSIN Live. Make sure you check that out Friday night. Anyway, let's get into these contest bombs. So we are 20-19-1 on the season. 20 wins, 19 losses, one tie. That's as even flip mode as you can get. 50-50. But this is the final week of the second quadrant. So let's get a nice week going in there. We'll go to that third quadrant. We'll get some momentum going, and we're gonna ship something. We're gonna get something out of this goddamn thing. Clang Johnson, says Ken Barner. Very funny. Speaking of bad games, they drop. Ken Barner says the Yinzer nickname of all wide receivers that drop balls is Clang Johnson. I thought it was Deontay Dropson. At least that's what I see is trending. Every time I go on Twitter, Deontay Dropson is trending and Amy Schumer. Anyway, first game, let's get into it. Chicago, New Orleans. The spread is 8.5. That is a lot. A lot of people are using New Orleans for their survivor this week. And I get it. It's the biggest spread on the board. 8.5 points. They just won in Indianapolis. Now they're coming home fat and sassy. And the Bears, well, they are a mess. Complete and absolute mess. They just fired their running back coach yesterday, and that was because of conduct in the office. HR was involved. That is the second coach this year that had to get fired because of HR and work-related activities. And then they had a 10-minute press conference. Evers, the fucking head coach, goes, why did I curse right there? That was unnecessary. I apologize for that F word. To me, not you guys. You guys can handle it. And he says, our culture's great. Our culture couldn't be better. And a telltale sign that your culture's good is when you have to announce that your culture's good. Oh, our culture is amazing. Oh, we have the best culture here. The culture's so good that we have to fire anyone for disturbing our great culture. The Bears also did something very odd during this week. The NFL trade deadline was this week, which is always sucks. They always hype up the trade deadline like it's baseball or basketball. You know, it's not the same. The NFL, no one trades the NFL ever. I mean, barely a couple trades. You know, the Eagles got Julio Jones. Who gives a shit? The Commanders, they got rid of a few guys. They got the USL. They got rid of Chase Young to San Francisco, and they also got rid of Sweat, their D end. And who did they trade him to? The Bears. What? It's a D lineman. He's a good D lineman. He's on the last year of his contract. He's going to be a free agent, and the Bears shipped a second round pick for him. What the fuck are you doing, Bears? Do you think you have any hope whatsoever of anything this year? What are you doing? You want to collect draft picks. You do not want to give them away. You are the Bears. You're terrible. You're getting worse. And I read an argument for it. Since they have the first two picks, I mean, well, they have two. They have their first round pick and Carolina's first round pick, which might be number one and two when it's all said and done, which would be pretty amazing. So, you know, they're going to have a lot. You can't only sign a certain amount of cuts. Maybe they can only sign a certain amount of picks. So who knows? I mean, this is all hinging on that Sweat's going to re-sign with the Bears. And if I'm Sweat, why would he? Why would he re-sign with you guys? Because you said you wanted him? That's not how things work. I know you are, but a curse word did flow with the rant. That's just something I would think to myself. I don't curse as a, you know, as the noun. I do it as like an adjective. It just goes with my dialogue. But it's still not a good thing to, I do it like unnecessarily. Anyway, what the fuck was I talking about, you motherfucker? Anyway, so the Bears became buyers. Very head scratching. So whatever. So maybe that tells the guys in the locker room, hey, we're still in this stupid division, which you're not. I don't know if you noticed. I don't know if you watched Detroit on Monday Night Bears, but you're not anywhere near as good as they are. You're not even as good as the Packers, and they're terrible. They are horrible. They only beat you and the Saints after Derek Carr got knocked out. They're awful, and you're worse. And your quarterback, special agent number 17, I kind of like him. D2 legend, his dad is a controversial arm wrestler. That's a fun job title. Like over the top. But he's controversial. He cheats a little bit. He's got the strap and he pulls in. Seriously, you can go to a rabbit hole of YouTube videos of Bajan's dad arm wrestling. Put that in there. Not now. After the show. After the C block is over with. He's a meathead, obviously. How do you make, I guess it, whatever. I gotta get out of LA, man. I gotta live in a town where you could make where you could just live off being a fucking retired arm wrestler. How much inexpensive is life outside of this hellhole? Anyway, that being said, I don't like when the Saints are fat and sassy. The Saints shouldn't be laying 8.5. Why? Because they won by a little bit over the Colts? They're still the Saints. This is way too many. I don't care how bad the Bears are and Bajant. This is a fat and sassy game. This is a typical letdown game. I don't think the Bears are going to win outright, but they have a chance. That's why I'm not taking them in Survivor. The Bears definitely have a chance in this Superdome. Jamal Williams, by the way, I gave this out in the prop show. He's +300 for an anytime touchdown, +2,500 for two touchdowns. I like that. Jamal Williams is starting to come back. Although Taysom Hill, that bastard, he thieves those touchdowns from him. He's a hater. He's like Permian Panthers, the Friday Night Lights, the book where the Boog, whatever the running back is, Booby, he'd run all the way down the field, then they put the white guy in to score the touchdown because they're a racist. That's what it is. Kamara and Jamal Williams do the dirty work, and then Taysom Hill comes in, the switchblade, the white switchblade, and he gets the bullshit touchdowns. Anyway, that being said, our first play is going to be Chicago +8.5 because they have a great culture. And they're buyers. Bomb it. Booby Miles, thank you, JC. Captain Insano says you should drive a truck around like Stallone and Over the Top. He was a retired arm wrestler. He sure was. Who famously in Over the Top had to arm wrestle a guy for custody of his child. That's the plot to Over the Top. Man, they were green lighting everything in the 80s. A movie about arm wrestling? Sure. Yeah, who's not going to be into that? Everybody. How about if we had truckers and a child custody case? Fuck it. Let's do it. Yeah, you go to truck stops and there's that. They sold those arm wrestling things like the over the top official ones, you know, where you grab the joystick thing so you don't lock in and you get the rope. If they would slip once, get the rope, tie them up. They really thought arm wrestling was going to sweep the nation then. It did not. Anyway, all right, second bomb. Let's go to the funniest game, I think, on the slate. The Bears-Saints is pretty funny, but this Las Vegas-Giants game is incredible. Las Vegas just got destroyed on Monday night. They only lost by 12, and they should have even almost backdoor covered. If Garoppolo could just throw the ball in bounds, Davante Adams would have scored a touchdown. They would have covered, even though they got outgained by like 400 yards. They looked terrible. So bad that they finally fired Josh McDaniels at 2 a.m., which is a very Raider thing to do. Did they not think people were going to report it? A 2 a.m. firing of Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels, I already miss Josh McDaniels because his quotes were always incredible. They made no sense. Well, he decided to kick a field goal down 4-5, whatever, that Sunday night game versus Steelers. That didn't happen. When they lost to the Bears, they were so bad, they got blown out by the Bears. They're the ones who made the Bears act like they could be buyers at a trade deadline. And they asked Josh, after that game, McDaniel goes, yeah, football's a mysterious game. Yeah. So you really don't know what's going to happen unless you're coaching it. Then we know what's going to happen. You're going to lose terribly. So they fired him and the general manager and the offensive coordinator, Lombardi's kid, just because they didn't even want to like looking at him. You like the coach. Get out of here. Go with him. So now Antonio Pierce is the coach, and he had a hilarious press conference yesterday, if you didn't see it. He had a hype man with him. He had a hype man just sitting next to him nodding his head. Uh-huh. And Pierce is like, I've been a Raider born and through. I grew up out here in L.A., born of Raiders. NWA hats, the whole nine. I wore NWA hats. What are you talking about? So you're a poser? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, he's getting them all fired up. It seemed very corny. It seemed like Jeff Saturday, a black Jeff Saturday. But he's better than him because at least was a coach. At least he was a coach on the Raiders staff. He didn't come from ESPN like Saturday. He was a complete, not that he's an idiot, but he's just not prepared to coach. Pierce should be prepared to do something. But that dumb meathead stuff, it works for like a week. And luckily they're playing the New York Giants this week. And that's what happened. Actually, when Saturday was the first game versus the Colts, they played the Raiders, and then they beat the Raiders. That's how bad Josh McDaniels was. Josh McDaniels couldn't even outcoach Jeff Saturday. So now you got Antonio Pierce going against Mike Dable in these Giants. This is how bad the Giants are. They're playing a team, the Las Vegas Raiders, who have no home field advantage. They have no fans. It's going to be all Giant fans out there, although they're probably not even going to show up to the game. They're just going to be hammered at the casinos being New York assholes at New York, New York. They're playing a team that has just fired their head coach. They have no offensive coordinator, no general manager. They benched their quarterback for a rookie quarterback, Aiden O'Connell. And they're underdogs. The Raiders are favored. They look like the worst dumpster fire in sports, and they're favored over the Giants. That's how bad the Giants are. The Giants, of course, somehow blew that Jets game last week. I mean, they're just brutal. I honestly think this game is going to be a tie. I think that'd be the funniest way for this thing to end. But we got to take a side. So we're going to take Las Vegas -2 because of the meathead Pierce. I think this speech works for 1 week and 1 week only. And this is the perfect opportunity for it to happen. So Las Vegas -2. I know. A lot of fun. Turn the hat around, flip the switch. That was, Canseco says that. That was Stallone's big move and over the top. When he turned the hat around, that's when he meant business. Before, he was just messing around. But then he turns the hat backwards. Uh-oh. Flip the switch. Garbo says they were down 8, kicked the field goal to cut to 5 with like 2:30. I know. You know what's amazing? They kicked the field goal with like 5 minutes to go, and they got a penalty. So they took the points off the board and then drove more, and then wound up kicking a field goal anyway. So all they did was cost themselves 3 minutes of time. It was brutal. I'm going to miss McDaniels. He was so bad. Free Tommy DeVito, says Captain Saint. I know. I do love Tommy DeVito.
Ferrari.
But unfortunately, Daniel Jones is coming back. The Giants should be forced to quarterback Tommy DeVito. I'm Tommy DeVito. I don't throw nothing. Yeah, I'm a quarterback, but I don't throw the ball. I'm not allowed to throw the ball. You don't want to see me throw the ball. Trust me. I don't throw nothing. I hand it off to Saquon. I throw it in the backfield. I'll do a tight end dig, but I don't throw the ball for nobody. I'm Tommy DeVito. You understand? Brian Petrovka, welcome to the chat. He's a Raider fan. Meathead bump to stop the run. Well, listen, I like the meathead bump angle. I love Antonio Pierce. I love that he had a hype man at his press conference. Although I don't know if they're going to stop the run. Jesus Christ, did Jahmyr Gibbs just run right through them on Monday night? So Saquon might have himself a game. His over-under is 75.5. All right, let's move on. We gave out We gave out Vegas -2, Bears +8.5. Let's do another horrible game just to wrap this angle up. It's getting late. Jesus God, am I running real late? Let me just get into this real quick. This is Minnesota versus Atlanta. Atlanta's laying 4.5. Now, Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles.
You like that? You like that?
No, we do not, Kirk. They traded for Josh Dobbs. They still think they can make the playoffs, which who knows? They asked Josh Dobbs, is he going to start? No, but he'll be on the sideline to tutor Jaren Hall. Tutor? He doesn't even have the fucking playbook. How's he going to tutor? He's that smart, as Ryan Kramer said. Dobbs is the smartest quarterback in the league. He goes team to team and picks up their offense by Wednesday. If you fly him in on Tuesday, he'll know your offense by Thursday. He might not be able to play it, but he'll know it. So Minnesota's throwing Jaren Hall out there to get mentored. But everyone's excited for Atlanta because they're finally benching Desmond Ridder for Taylor Heinicke. And their coach, Arthur Smith, he had an amazing press conference too. He just wouldn't admit that they're benching Desmond Ridder because he's terrible, because he is terrible. He's awful. He throws back-breaking interceptions. And he had a minor sign of a concussion like 2 weeks ago. And they're like, no, you better rest. You got a concussion. He's like, no, I'm good. No, you're not. Trust me. You're sitting down. So then they go, okay, is Ridder benched because he's bad? Nah, there's a lot of variables. What? A lot of variables? Do you mean brain variables? Well, is his play? Is his brain? There's variables. There's remainders. There's participles. Oh. I love it. Wobbly Rooster said it was not a ladder reference. He's hunting. So he's in a tree. I hope I'm not too loud. I hope I'm not scaring your deer off. But I love the dedication, Wobbly Rooster. Listening to the Bottom Line Bombs in a tree while he's hunting. And then you hear my voice screaming, scaring off the deer. With that being said, we're going to take those Minnesota Vikings +4.5. Atlanta, I don't care if Taylor Heinicke is in there. They shouldn't be laying 4.5 to anybody. A lot of times the Lions will overcompensate for a backup quarterback coming in, although this is a rookie in his first start. But I'm telling you, this Hall kid, he's an athlete. You're going to see him. He doesn't have to do much. He doesn't have to do much for Atlanta. Atlanta's not going to put up a lot of points. Anyway, real quick break, then I'll finish the other two bombs for the contest and a survivor pick and then some man in the box. Did I tell you about Hall of Fame bets yet? Win bigger by betting smart. This NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, a sports analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Stop betting in the dark. Join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit HOFbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets. And we're back with the Bottom Line Bombs. Let me do that again. I am Cesar Sub and the man in the box. Oh, there's ducks. I should have threw that out there for a Wobbly Rooster. Are you duck hunting, Wobbly? Do you catch them? Remember the duck hunt, the Nintendo game, and that dog would humiliate you and laugh at you and to be started off. I always wanted to shoot that fucking dog. He would come out, and he'd point and laugh at you if you missed. Fuck you, dog. Whose side are you on in this thing? I could easily leave you out in these woods, dog. You know that, right? Now get on board. All right, let's get to a couple of the good games. We just gave you out Chicago 8.5, Vegas -2, Minnesota +4.5. Let's get to some real games. Speaking of bears, bear hunting, Eagles-Dallas is the game of the week. Phillies -3 at home in Dallas. That's a big rivalry. They hate each other. Two good teams, the NFC. Philly might be the number one team right now, but that one's too completely dominant. So Dallas can definitely win this game. I have a Philly fan, so I do have an inside thing on this. Deck, not an inside thing. I went to a Philly bar last week. I wanted to see old Lance. Lance was a guy, old black man, Eagle fan. We used to watch a couple games at Berkshire House in Hollywood, which now closed down, which I realized when I went there. He's a good guy. I'm like, I miss old Lance. See what Lance is up to. I haven't seen him since the Super Bowl. It turns out there's a new Eagle bar. I go, Lance, what happened? He wasn't in the bars going. He texts me. He's like, I'm hungover. I can't. He's like 80. I'm hungover. He's a son of a bitch. He's the kind of guy that'll go up to all the fans of the other teams and bet him. I bet you $50 we win right now. And you can't say no because it's Lance. Oh, fuck you, Lance. All right. I'll bet you. And then you bet him and then he wins. And he's Lance. And he talks shit. And like I said before at the Eagles, when I went to the Eagles-Rams game, no one talks shit better than elderly black men. They're the best at shit talking. They're like, oh, because they act like they don't know. But they know. Oh, that was a game we were Eagle Rams. Who'd we play today? Who'd we play? Who were that, the Raiders? No, that was the Rams. Who'd we play? That was a hell of an Eagles game, though. We had a lot of fans there. Yeah, God damn it, Lance. You're the best. Anyway, so we went to this new Philly bar in Cahuenga, and you could tell it was a Philly bar because there's a filthy, Philly rowdy fans just passed out front. It's like 11 a.m. because it's Los Angeles. The game started early. And they're passed out. They look like regular homeless people. The only thing you couldn't tell because they were wearing, you know, Jeremiah Trotter jerseys and Rigo Blankenship jerseys. You always know there's the racist fan when they're wearing a weird white player, like a Kevin Turner jersey or a Jason Kelsey jersey is a suspect. But at least he's a hero now, so people aren't him. We're just passed out. Anyway, it used to be connected to this other bar. I won't even name it. But it was a regular bar. It was supposed to be an Eagles bar. And they're such animals. The staff said, that, you know what? We don't want to lose your business. Why don't you go to the side room that's not even a bar? We'll put a projector up there. We'll pad the walls. And only you guys can be in there. And they love it. But we just need you to be away from the public. And that's how an Eagles bar was created in L.A. Now, yeah, you guys can do whatever you want. You can throw up on each other, touch other scream, smash glasses, whatever you animals like to do. Just don't be around other human beings that come to our establishment. So I might go back a couple weeks. Not this week, though. Too big of a game versus Philly. Oh, they don't want to poke the bear. That was a weird quote. Jerry Jones said, you don't want to poke the bear. And then Dak Prescott said, well, smother me in honey because I want to fucking taunt the bear. What? Dip you in honey? What are you talking about? That's what Dak Prescott said. He said, cover me in honey because I want to poke the bear. Are you talking about Jerry Jones? I love Dak. I hate the Cowboys, but I love Dak. Why? Because he's terrible in good games, big games. Anytime they play someone good, he's awful, especially on the road. And Cowboy fans hate him. He takes those abuse, but yet he's good. He's just good enough where you can't get rid of him. Because that's the thing with star quarterbacks. You just can't get rid of him. So he's going to be smothered in honey in Philly. And the Philly fans are going to be, right now they're a little too happy because of the Phillies, but now that the Phillies lost that horrendous and ruined baseball by making Arizona have to go in the World Series. Dak Prescott, we know he's 3-1 in Philly. But also they should have lost to Gardner Minshew last year. So I don't want to hear about Dak Prescott's tell numbers with the Eagles. But if Miami was 3-point dogs in Philadelphia, I think Miami's better than Dallas. Who knows? Dallas is playing great, but this is what Dallas does every year. They've done this, it seems like, three times already this season. They beat the hell out of terrible teams. Then they lose, and everyone's like, oh, that's right. We can't trust them. Then they work themselves up, beat them again. Then San Francisco beats the shit out of them after they lose to Arizona. Like, oh, these guys suck. After they lost to San Francisco, these guys suck. I never want to hear from them again. People were burning Dak jerseys. They were using them as mops, which is hilarious. Act like it's the American flag wearing a football jersey, desecrating the jersey. And then they come back and they start beating up bad teams again. Like, ah, oh, they're back. How about them Cowboys?
But then he pulls out and it's just hard.
Troy and Joe will be. Actually, Troy and Joe are on ESPN. They won't be there. That's a shame. Anyway, we're going to take Philly -3. It's just Philly at home, first half. It's just a solid play to do. They squeeze the life out of you. It should be a good game, though. We're going to take Philly at home. But you're getting Philly at home on this short of a number. Their offense is clicking. They're not perfect. They're not as good as they were last year, but no one is. We'll take these Eagles -3 because the Cowboys are a fraud dipped in honey. Finally, let's get to the Monday night game, I believe this is. Oh, no, Sunday night game. I'm sorry. Monday night game is the fucking Jets. This is Cincinnati-Buffalo. Line is 1.5. Cincinnati's favored. Buffalo in Cincinnati. Now, the Bengals are hilarious. The Bengals every year are like, yeah, we don't do September. Wake us when the season starts going. Then we'll see if we want to get good or not. Then they're like, yeah, you know what? We'll get good. Ah, boy, Cereal's coming out, says we'll see who's the fraud. Listen, Cereal, even if the Cowboys win, they're still frauds. That would be the most Cowboy thing to do, to win this game and then get them even more excited for an more epic collapse. But whatever. Listen, I hope Dak Prescott is your quarterback for years and years. Anyway, let's get to this Bengals-Buffalo game. Both teams are playing pretty well. Buffalo is a little suspect. But the Bengals are starting to peak again. They know they got to get going. This is the revenge game. So the Bengals beat the Bills in the playoffs in Buffalo. But this was also a DeMar Hamlin revenge game. This is what it was a Monday night game. The Bengals were about to fucking boat race Buffalo, and then DeMar Hamlin died, so they stopped the game. He faked a heart attack. Some people think he faked it. A lot of conspiracy theories say, or they think he's dead and there's a fake DeMar out there. What the Bills basically did was they went to a fancy restaurant, realized they couldn't pay the bill, so they faked a heart attack to get out of there. They needed to shut it down. So I can see them doing it again. That game fucked everyone up. Remember, what did the NFL do with it? They're like, well, they just gave the Bills home field advantage, and then Kansas City got home field advantage throughout because of that. They were going to be like the 3-seed, but the Bengals got fucked out of anyone. Like, what about us? We were about to run the table. So now they're coming back. DeMar Hamlin. DeMar Hamlin been on the field yet? His comeback player of the year award's slipping. So this time, if the Bills are being down by 20, they're gonna have to recreate. Someone else is gonna have to fake a heart attack. I think that's why they traded they would sign Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette in the practice squad. All right, Leonard, do you have sickle cell or something? We're gonna need something for you to act like. We're not saying we're gonna sue the stadium, but if things get out of hand, I need you to fake a seizure. But I like the Bengals. Joe Burrow is—he was so funny with them doing them picking apart San Francisco. He's just like, yeah, I know, I get it. Who cares? How many weeks is the season? 17. What's the rush? What is the big deal? That's for you. That's for you, Cereal. What are we waiting for? We're on a crap thunder. You think you're coming to Philadelphia, Cereal? When Paulie died? The real hero of Philadelphia, not Rocky. Paulie died. The racist uncle we all have. He's Philadelphia. You don't have a fucking chance. wearing your Scotch cologne, Jerry Jones. Oh, real quick, Cincinnati minus 1.5. That's a bomb. But now I'm getting back to Philly Dallas. When Paulie died, you think you have a prayer coming through? And Lou from back to school. Easy represents Philly, not that midget actor from New York leaving his statue in front of our art museum. We like Paul. He always has a pint of whiskey in his shit jack pocket, throw it through pinball machines. And he hates every minority he sees, but that's his charm. It's the only Philadelphia is racist. Is racism a charm? Just kidding. Great stat. If your stats on Mike McCarthy and his record, good Lord, the Cowboys are funnier than I imagine. Mike McCarthy is a dunce, and that's the thing. Cowboy fans even know it. You guys know Mike McCarthy's a terrible coach. Everyone knows it, but Jones just wants a puppet for himself. So take your honey slaver quarterback. And you're Mike McCarthy, who locks himself in the locker room after that San Fran game. He took it so hard. I did 20-hour days, and I told my coaches to ignore their families. And they said, that's easy for you to say. Your wife left you. Well, that's true. Humpty Dumpty beats you. Yeah, he does. Hey, beat us with fucking Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers or whatever the hell Packer quarterback was. Anyway, I don't have time to argue that. Just two to bombs. Just to recap, the five bombs are Bears plus 8.5, Vegas minus 2, Minnesota plus 4.5, Philly minus 3, and Cincinnati minus 1.5. Those are five bombs. Now let's get into the survivor pick. Like I said, there's only two survivor choices. There's New Orleans or Cleveland. And I'm going with Cleveland over Arizona. And this is why. Even though you got P.J. Walker quarterbacking for Cleveland, people are like, he's not that much of a difference than Sean Watson. Yeah, he is. He's a difference than Sean Watson. He is worse. He is far, far worse. But he's an XFL legend, P.J. Walker, and he can get you to win. I'm not laying the points with Arizona, but I will fade them to lose this game. Arizona, coming into the season, they said they were going to tank, basically. That's at least what we thought they were. Then they didn't. They actually played pretty tough. But now things have opened up for them, and they can see, now they can sniff that goal line of the number one pick. So now they're focusing in, like, you know what? We're starting to lose games. We're starting to be the team we envisioned in the beginning of the season, where we're losing and getting pummeled in the second half. So let's really go for this. Let's trade our quarterback. They cut their starting quarterback before the season started, traded for Josh Dobbs. Then he started winning games, and he was going to do a revenge game versus Cleveland, so they traded him before he could get any ideas in his head and beating his whole team. And they're going to start a guy named Clayton Toon. What? Clayton fucking Toon? What are you doing? I just love that music. So they trade Dobbs, get the revenge game. This is it. So just take Cleveland at home, coming off a loss. You don't want a fat, sassy Saints team off a loss of a guy named Clayton Toon, who's a fifth-round pick out of Houston, I believe. So that's your survivor, Clayton Toon. Now, with that being said, let's get ourselves into the box. There it is. There's the box. Welcome to the Man in the Box. And thank you, everyone, who is joining us on the chat. A lot of people in the chat here watching. And on YouTube, make sure you hit the like button on the YouTube button. Hit that thumbs up. Don't just watch me. Tell me you like me. I don't even care if you actually do like me. Just hit the thumbs up. Some guy on Twitter, a fan. So I shouldn't even rip him. I held back on Twitter. People were talking about me like, I like CJ's ladder. You know, and the guy goes, yeah, I like him too. At first I didn't, not a fan at first, but he won me over. Great. Why do you got to say that? I don't give a fuck about your story arc of how you hated me up front. I almost said that on Twitter, but I said, you know what? I'm going to be grateful. It did burn me up. I don't need to hear. Not a fan at first, but now I like him. Who gives a shit? Anyway, like the YouTube button, please. And subscribe, all that. Take Dallas plus +3 for a thumbs up. Go to hell. You think I don't mind losing cereal? I do it all the time. He likes the Eagles to score first and lose plus +420. That's actually not a bad bet. If you're going to take Dallas, because Philly are hot starters. They start off hot. Anyway, what's going on here? Let me just see something real quick here before I get to the box. What else did I want to say about online comments? I posted speaking of Halloween, I don't know if you guys saw my I posted a video about Reese's peanut butter cups because I talked about it on the man in the box here in the bottom line bombs. I talked about Reese's peanut butter cups, how I still like them. I like Reese's peanut butter cups, but I don't think they're the number one seed because they can't be taken seriously because they're better when they're frozen and they're better when they're miniature. So they can't rest on their own merits. And I posted a video and I should not have done that. That created quite the fucking reaction. I would have been safer attacking Taylor Swift fans than making comments about Reese's. People go fucking crazy online when it comes to candy in general. But anyway, where the heck is the thing? Oh well. Let's talk some box. What did I want to talk about? There's a couple of things I wanted to talk about here. Today is All Saints Day, which is the day All Souls Day. This is the Day of the Dead. All Saints Day was yesterday. I only know that because I went to a Catholic school my entire life. And they wouldn't give us regular holidays. Like, they wouldn't give us Martin Luther King Day off, like public schools. But they had to make up for it. They still had to give you the same amount of holidays. So they'd make fucking holidays up, like All Saints Day, which we love because it was the day after Halloween. You got to eat your candy, but it was also weird not having Martin Luther King Day off. They were like, what'd the king ever do for you? Telling kids to celebrate All Saints Day, it's like that you might as well be saying All Lord of the Rings Day, All Wizards Day. St. Anthony kids finds things when they can't be found. When they look, you gotta look around. Did the king ever find your car keys? What? We're nine. We don't have a car. And it's not the king. It's not Elvis. It's Dr. Martin Luther King. Anyway, we got to eat our candy. St. Francis of Assisi, though, kids, was the first saint to pray the gay out of them. Anyway, what else did I want to talk about? That was the All Saints. Oh, Bobby Knight died. That's what I should talk about. Bobby Knight, legend. It's kind of funny what they talk, all the obituaries and, you know, memoriams or whatever of Bobby Knight, all the articles, the headlines. They think of different words to say other than asshole. Like, the polarizing legend, the combustible, always fiery. Yeah, he was an asshole. You can say it. Bobby Knight was an asshole. Great coach. Not saying he wasn't, but he was a terrible person. But now he's a great person. Another call his friends. I wish you could see what kind of great person he was, but you couldn't because he was an asshole. And he did not care if you liked him. And all the great Bobby Knight stories they talk about now is how he knew Michael Jordan. Or not knew Michael Jordan. He knew Michael Jordan's going to be great, which is amazing. He talks about how Michael Jordan's the best basketball player ever before he ever played for the NBA. Michael Jordan was also a sociopath. Bobby Knight was a sociopath. The scene in Blue Chips, Yarbo says, was fantastic in Indiana. I know. He wasn't acting. He would love to have had a Bobby Hurley. He had Calvert Chaney. The same quotes with him. Play Michael at center. Bury me upside down. Kiss my ass. You know what's funny about Bobby Knight too is not only one of those jerks, but he's such an old school coach asshole that all sports writers, and my buddy Sean Flannery brought this up, who I do another podcast called The Blackout Diaries with, if you want to check that out. Funny drinking podcast. But Bobby Knight's such an old school asshole coach that he's like a father figure to these sports writers. So sports writers love him because they treat him like the dad that always, you know, was a jerk to them, which become to his jobs. So all the stories like, oh, I got this great Bobby Knight story. And then the Bobby Knight story is about him being a jerk. Like Mike Greenberg's like, I was coaching his softball and I had him 16th line. It wasn't to me. And he puts me in a headlock. He's like, what the fuck? Why do you come here? He's batting 16th. I'm like, oh God, it's not up to me. Then he laughed and he's like, yeah, I know. I just wanted to be a jerk to you. Yeah. It's hilarious. What a hilarious Bobby Knight story. What a great guy he is. Was him and Ted Williams and Trump hunting in Russia. Oh boy, those were the times. What was the other story he told? Oh, then he tells the story. Mike Greenberg is Mike, and I don't want to pick on Mike Greenberg, but he tells because there's always a thing of him bullying the interviews. He was a tough interview. Jeremy Schapp, you pussy, you're not your dad. Yeah, that's a tough interview. Or he's just a berating, hateful prick. Anyway, Mike Greenberg's like, so he would say stuff, you know, and I was never the person to call him out on things. I could never be that big. I was never that big where I could call him out on his shit. And then I swear to God, like 20 seconds later, he's like, he was a big fan of the Mike and Mike show. He would call in and say, you guys are great for sports. And I'm like, what a compliment. I don't know where it came from. You don't know where it came from. You just said you would never call him out on his shit. That's why he liked you. He's a bully. Yeah, you guys are great for sports. You let me get away with anything I want. That being said, you got to love the general. Him whipping that chair. Not just throwing that chair. When he got fired, when he choked Neil Reed, his player, and that video surfaced, and then Indiana did nothing. They put him on like a double secret probation. Remember, it was a whole thing, 60 minutes, whole thing. Like, okay, zero tolerance policy. So just gave him probation because they weren't going to fire him. And then immediately he chokes a student the next day because, of course, he gets heckled by some freshman who goes, hey, Knight. He goes right to choke mode. You address me as the general, even though I've never served as a general. Hey, Knight. What up, Knight? What's up, Knight? You motherfucker. Oh, my God. He's hilarious. Anyway. After Bob Huggins is probably the only one left of those kind of coaches. And I love Huggy Bear. But they just don't breed those son of a bitch cancelable coaches anymore who violently assault their players and students and verbally intimidate staff and women and or terrify people in their towns. They just don't make them like that anymore. Pieces of show shit that openly have disdain for everyone they come across. Harbaugh's got a little bit of that in him. We'll see what happens when he comes to coach the Bears. Anyway, that's going to do it for today's Bottom Line Bombs and Man in the Box. Thank you. Thank you for everyone who was in the chat, like including Cereal, even though you're a Cowboys fan. Go to hell with your Cowboys, but I appreciate you being in here, Bob. I'm just joking around with you. Everyone, like the phone, subscribe, of course, to the podcast, 5-star in reviews, and send in a rant video, parade video about whatever you want. You'll get a Man in a Box t-shirt for that if you want to do that. If there's any degenerates in Vancouver this weekend, that's where I'm going to be, at the House of Comedy, Rick Bronson's House of Comedy, all weekend. I leave tomorrow. And Vancouver, I'm actually going to have to watch that Eagles-Cowboys game later because I'll be flying back that day. But I'll go up north, see the weird things up there. Canada's always weird. You think it's America. You're like, this is just like America. Then you see something that's just a little bit off. You're like, oh, this isn't America. This is very weird. Something's not right. Anyway, that's going to do it. Yeah. Oh, shit. This show's getting late. And don't worry, the C block continues after this, guys. The College Experience Show with Picks Dundee. My third show. I just did the props. I just did the bottom line bombs. And now I do the college show. So I got to go and wrap this up. All right, guys. See ya. Yes, good night, nurse.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.